Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Now, it's the Rest Stop with Brad Restituto.
Comes up to the pocket, fires the right side, caught by Diggs.
Stay up!
Oh my God! Oh my God! Diggs, no
kidding!
Touchdown!
Are you kidding me?
It's a Minneapolis miracle!
I got three words for you. You like that?
Welcome to the Rest Stop on this Thursday, our first podcast of July. It is July 8th, 2021. I'm Brad Restituto. Spencer Ostrowski joins me as always. And really good show of sports for you tonight. It's been a little over a week since we had our last podcast. So if you're joining us live, make sure you join us every time we're on Tuesdays and Thursdays, twitch.tv/ChrisLandryFootball. Also at Brad the Believer on Twitter. And Brad Restituto on Facebook, and Brad the Believer on YouTube. Like and subscribe to the channel there. And really great basketball tonight. Before we get to that, I hope everyone had a good 4th of July. Talked to Spence a little bit before we came on here. He was doing a lot of work on the 4th. I stayed in for the most part. Saw some fireworks at the end. So we're more than halfway through 2021, everyone. So this year is flying by, and I can't believe we're almost done with 2021. That's absolutely insanity to me. So I hope everyone's enjoying the first half of 2021 and to a great second half as we've put the COVID 2020 in the rear view. And we're trying to fight off these COVID variants and get back to as much normalcy as we can here in this country. So cheers to everyone out there. Thanks for joining us tonight on the Rest Stop. A fantastic basketball game in the NBA Finals. Game 2 from Phoenix. Phoenix took the victory. 118-108, not without a lot of resistance from the Bucks tonight. The Bucks played outstanding in the second half, I thought they played very hard. Giannis played a really nice game, except for some of his shot selection from the three-point line, but he shot it well from the free throw line. Jrue Holiday struggled a little bit. I thought he was very impactful defensively, had two big blocks, two big steals. Just a lot of buckets did not fall in the paint for Jrue Holiday. So you see, statistically, he didn't shoot a very good percentage. He finished 7 of 21 from the field, 17 points. But like I said, I thought he was very good defensively. Just a lot of shots didn't fall from him in the paint. And a lot of that was good contesting from Phoenix. On the Phoenix side, Devin Booker led the way with 31 points, but the X factor was Mikal Bridges. He was outstanding in the first half. He closed with 8 of 8 from the free throw line, 3 of 9 from 3. I believe most of those threes were in the first half. He was outstanding in the first half. He finished with 27 points, 7 rebounds. Chris Paul got off to a slow start but came around in the second half, finished 10 of 20 from the field, 23 points, 8 assists, and, of course, controlled the flow of the game in the first and second half at the point guard position. Jrue Holiday was playing a lot of press defense, really covering him from full court most of the game. A really hard-fought effort by both teams. And campaign only played 10 minutes, but he was, even though statistically he wasn't very effective, the pace of play was heightened in the 10 minutes that he played. And Phoenix had to hold off a bunch of second-half runs for Milwaukee. If you watched the broadcast, you saw 7-0 run Milwaukee, 8-0 run Milwaukee. Phoenix answered back with a 7-0, 8-0 run. So a really hard-fought game from both teams. And really, it was going to be an important game for Phoenix because to give Milwaukee the momentum and how good they are at home, splitting this series was going to be really big. So Phoenix did their job and held home court, and they'll be going to Milwaukee on Sunday for game three. We've talked about the Phoenix Suns all season. Really well-coached Monty Williams, well-led Chris Paul, Devin Booker, one of the young superstars, and the contributions of Mikal Bridges and the way DeAndre Ayton stepped up in these playoffs has been phenomenal. Didn't jump off the stat sheet tonight, 10 points, 11 rebounds, but some timely buckets and rebounds in the second half. And really, for me, some really timely plays. When Milwaukee had the lead cut to 8 or 6 with around 6 minutes left, 4 minutes left, Phoenix had some big plays on the offensive rebounds, second chance opportunities, and some timely shot making for the Phoenix Suns that helped them stave off the comeback from the Milwaukee Bucks. And overall, guys, and Spence, jump in here in a minute, I think the Phoenix Suns are a better shot making team. Will that win them this series? That's yet to be determined, but it certainly got them off to a 2-0 lead, and it makes them, in my opinion, the favorite. They are the betting favorite and, of course, a prohibited favorite up 2-0, but they just make they're just better shot makers all around. They're better from the free throw line. So who you trust late in situations, you've got to trust the Phoenix Suns. I mean, Milwaukee had a great effort tonight. Pat Connaughton hit some nice shots, 4 of 9 from three, but missed a couple in the fourth quarter. Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton was 5 of 16. We know these guys are really inconsistent. Like I said, Giannis stood out. He was outstanding. His second game back from the knee injury that really missed him most of the series against Atlanta. He was 11 of 18, like I said, from the free throw line. He was outstanding tonight. A couple plays he seemed banged up. But I just don't know that Milwaukee has the depth to overcome Phoenix in this series. They're going to need Giannis to have performances like this the rest of the series, and they're going to need Middleton and Holiday to make more shots, which they should be able to do at home. It wouldn't surprise me in the least, Spence, if this series goes back to Phoenix tied up at two. I do like Phoenix to win the series, but a really hard-fought game tonight, and I thought very entertaining to watch.
Yeah, no, this was a great finals game. I enjoyed it very much, although viewership is like down 50% from the 2018 finals with LeBron and the Cavaliers against the Warriors. But yeah, I mean, you touched on it, and those are the two biggest things for me is the fact that Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday, as long as they play like this, they can't win. I mean, they're not a super deep team, in my opinion. I mean, they barely went to their bench. Pat Connaughton, he was 5 of 10, so it was, you know, decent enough. But I feel like stat sheets don't tell at all. Like, basketball is very contextual in all facets. And that starts with, Pat Connaughton missing some bad shots in the fourth quarter. And also, when you look at Giannis's free throws, I mean, it looks really bad, but I thought about this more, and I feel like, of course, you want Giannis to make all his free throws if you're a Bucks fan. But the fact that he gets so many offensive rebounds and fouled off of those, I mean, those are possessions that wouldn't exist if Giannis didn't exist, if that makes sense. Like, guys just don't get rebounds like he does and put them back up. So it's about playing well in the most important moments. And right now, look, Chris Middleton hasn't been good, and he was below 33% tonight. But the way that Jrue Holiday is playing is just like a net negative. I know he's been good on defense, but I'll almost never forget this. In game one, he faked someone on a 3-point line, and you know, he got the defender to jump. So he goes into the lane, which is probably fine, right? I mean, he could have faked it, stepped to the side, and hit a wide open three. But okay, that's fine. You want to put some more pressure on the defense. But there's two defenders there, and he runs right into them and turns off the ball, and they get a wide open basket on the other end. It's like mentally he's not there. And the other like big note that I've seen throughout this series is the fact that Milwaukee is obsessed with switching everything. I mean, that's what almost got the Clippers killed in the Dallas series, is that you can pick matchups. I think Brooke Lopez could work because it feels like he's getting killed out there, and to a certain extent he is. That's because he constantly finds himself out on the perimeter against Chris Paul and Devin Booker. I can't count how many threes have been made over him, but it's not really his fault. I mean, that's his size. If DeAndre Ayton found himself in that situation on the other end, he'd be killed too. And I just don't think Milwaukee gets it very well. Giannis did have a nice game, but they constantly feed Giannis the ball with DeAndre Ayton posting up on him like a traditional center. To me, that's just not the way that you should do it. That's not putting enough pressure on the Phoenix defense. Also, it allows the Phoenix to get out on a lot of transition shots when he misses, because Giannis is then under the basket. DeAndre Ayton is under the basket, meaning your guards can push forward. And when you see it on the other end and you see Brook Lopez so far out, I mean, you're just giving away opportunities. So, again, I don't think the series is over. I agree with you. I think Milwaukee will be just fine as long as they can kind of make some adjustments, which Budenholzer hasn't been great with. But he's been decent enough. He won them that Brooklyn series, kind of. But I think they're going to have to make a lot of fundamental changes, which is hard to do this late in the season, but the great teams do it.
Spent some missed opportunities tonight for Milwaukee. They got off to an 8-2 start in the first quarter. They outscored the Phoenix Suns by 3 in the first, but really probably should have been more. Chris Paul, uncharacteristically, 6 turnovers tonight for Phoenix. You're unlikely to get that again from him the rest of the series. So to not take advantage of some opportunities tonight by Milwaukee is important. I mean, look, we're in the NBA Finals. Every possession is important. Every free throw, every moment, every loose ball. So to not take advantage of 6 Chris Paul turnovers, and really Giannis came out on fire for Milwaukee, and Milwaukee plays well from ahead. So they really had an opportunity to open up that game in the first quarter, and they let Mikal Bridges knock down some threes, and they let Phoenix stick around. And when Phoenix stuck around, they ended up getting some momentum from the home crowd. Booker started hitting shots, some tough shots. They're tough shot makers on this team for Phoenix. So when you let them stick around and you really didn't build up that double-digit lead in the first quarter, I knew it was going to be a close game. And then in the second quarter, of course, the Phoenix Suns outscored Milwaukee 30-16. And from there, it was an uphill battle for Milwaukee. And they made some runs, like I said, in the second half, but it wasn't enough to overcome Phoenix tonight. And Chris Paul's fantastic. Devin Booker, Mikal Bridges was great. He was money from the free throw line. And it's tough. I heard a stat during the game, Spence, when the Phoenix Suns hold a double-digit lead during these playoffs, they're 12-0. So tonight would bring that to 13-0. Their clutch free throw shooting and their big shot makers help that record be flawless. And this is the type of team that is built to win this year. And in my opinion, probably built to continue to compete if they continue to get depth on this ball club and they re-sign Chris Paul. But I like the mixture of young and veteran. I love Monty Williams as the coach. And look, they're 2 games away from hoisting the Larry O'Brien trophy for the first time ever in the franchise history of the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, and just when I talked about like stats being contextual, I think the game is as well. When Milwaukee got close, I feel like they didn't really understand. I felt like they thought, oh, we have to close this right now or it's never going to happen ever again. And I think that's where they get caught. That's where they end up start playing really loose. There was one Pat Connaughton 3 from the left wing the left wing 3, and he just bricked it. It was just too quick, and they were within 6 points. I think slowing the game down actually favors Milwaukee a lot. I know that Phoenix certainly is effective in the half court, but they are able to take advantage of Milwaukee being out of place on defense so much. At times they look confused, and I think that starts with the philosophy of switching and everything. Guys aren't looking for matchups, they're looking for zones, and Phoenix just loves that, and I think they've been dominating there.
Spence, let's talk about Chris Paul specifically and his possible legacy. I've got to tell you, a buddy of mine, Dave Dineen, a big basketball guy, played college hoops, very knowledgeable of the game, is not a big fan of 6 foot and under point guards. And many years ago told me Chris Paul was one of the more overrated point guards in the league. So I always had that in the back of my mind watching Paul play. But in this situation over the years, I'm going to have to disagree with my friend, because Chris Paul has proven to me and sustained this. What he did in Oklahoma City was amazing. What he's done with Phoenix is unmatchable. And his opportunity to hoist the trophy for the first time and be a champion and still play at this high level at this point in his career, he certainly moved up this list. I don't know exactly where I put him, Spence, but he's absolutely in the discussion as one of the top 3 to 5 point guards ever to play the game. And I love watching what he's doing. His basketball IQ is superior. His mid-range game, you can't even really begin to describe his basketball IQ and how important it is, and his decision-making and where he can get to spots and how he can get other people open, the little things he does. Spence, tonight, he saved an inbound pass, or not an inbound pass, he saved an out-of-bounds play and made a wraparound pass to Jay Crowder for a mid-range shot. That was a key possession, and how he was able to keep that ball from going out of bounds or keep his feet from not going out of bounds was sensational. I mean, that's something that not a lot of people will talk about, the little things that he does. Yes, he turned the ball over six times tonight, which is uncharacteristic, but man, the guy in key moments and key possessions is just money. And 6 feet or under or not, the guy certainly is in the conversation of top point guards ever. It'll certainly cement his legacy if they can win an NBA title, the first ever in franchise history, as we mentioned, for Phoenix. It'll be certainly satisfying for this guy to get his first ever championship with the young guys around him. I talked with Dave Perry a little bit through text. He's on the chat here before earlier today about Chris Paul's legacy. He's a big fan of Chris Paul's. I definitely think it's going to be, you know, a little important whether he wins a series or not. I think having that kind of star next to his name makes a huge deal when you talk about the legacy of Chris Paul, especially at this point in his career. So I think if they do hold on and win this series and he wins the title, gold medalist Olympian, you know, certainly first ballot Hall of Famer, I think this guy certainly moves up the list and is in the conversation of the top three. What are your thoughts, Vince?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like we get so caught up in the moment and we want to like put guys so high up there, especially after Kevin Durant's performance. Like suddenly he was the greatest player of all time. I think you got to let him breathe a little bit. Not to say that to diminish what they're doing right now, but a lot of our opinions are formed like on memories, I guess. And, you know, really when we sit back and look at it, because if you look at the broadcast today, you'll think that every single shot, because it was scored at 5 p.m. or 5:12, and no one's ever shot that well at 5:30 in the afternoon, like all these kinds of crazy stats. So I think it all gets caught up in our mind. We're like, oh wow, did you know that this was the only guy in the third quarter because you saw it in the broadcast? But no, without a doubt, look, I mean, this guy has been getting it done for a long time. And I've been thinking, like, what is different, I guess, about this year for Chris Paul versus the rest of his career? Because it feels like he's been able to do this for a really long time. And part of it could be the Clippers, because I also looked at Blake Griffin in this postseason and the way he contributed. Look, he'll never be able to be what he was, but certainly you can see certain flashes where it feels like that's the kind of guy who you could win a championship with. And maybe it's because they didn't have enough, you know, everywhere else. I'm not sure. But this is the first time I think Chris Paul has ever played on a real, genuine team. There was always drama, even though the Clippers are a much smaller franchise than the Lakers and they're always kind of in that shadow. It was still very Hollywood. It was still very LA, where DeAndre was having issues with him at the time. There was some beef with Blake Griffin. And all you hear from the Phoenix side is how much they appreciate and like Chris Paul. I never really got that sentiment in LA. And I guess even in Houston, like they turned against him a lot of the times. And I think he takes that very personally. And I think his mood kind of affects the way he plays on the court. So now that he plays with Phoenix, he's got a great medical staff, but all of his teammates adore him. I think he really feeds off of that. And it's pretty evident from this year's playoffs, the confidence that he's playing with. Basically, we've never seen him like this before, like almost in his entire career, not even in the regular season. Like what he's doing right now, it's amazing.
So Spence, let's eliminate this year. Let's act like Chris Paul did not play at all this season. When you talked about Chris Paul before this season, what was he to you? Or in the discussions of your basketball friends and media, what was Chris Paul in the discussion eliminating this year completely?
Yeah, I've always appreciated the guy. So he was always like pretty much at the top of my list whenever I've seen him play. I've been lucky enough to see him play every once in a while. I mean, his mid-range game is just unbelievable. The feel he has for the game. And, you know, Steph probably takes that top spot, you could say, but Chris Paul wasn't far behind. Tony Parker was also kind of in that range. I'm still not sure how I feel about that. I want to see a few more years because, I mean, I hate to do this because it seems to be so popular on Twitter to, like, say, like, this is a fake trophy. But he has had the advantage of a lot of injuries. Maybe not in this series. Obviously, looking at Giannis, he looks pretty healthy right now. So, I mean, I think this will kind of quiet that conversation. But next year, when everyone does feel like they're a lot healthy and if he's able to do this kind of again, then he goes like really high on my list. As of right now, I haven't seen a lot of historical basketball, and I think that's where a lot of the problem for the conversation with my generation is and putting him somewhere. It's like I can look up highlight tapes, and but those are only the good parts. Like, I'm going to talk about LeBron because I watched him like almost every day growing up. I saw a lot of the nuanced moments. I saw him at his best. I saw him at his worst. And you just can't get that out of a 15-minute highlight reel clip. At the very least, I'll say, like, from when I started watching basketball, Chris Paul probably is the best.
Yeah, Spence, it's really hard. You know, I was able to watch Magic Johnson in the 80s and 90s a little bit. He's in that conversation. Oscar Robertson, who was before my time, won a title with Milwaukee, their only title. Of course, is a historic player that's beloved and in the conversation with guys. But the guys you mentioned in our lifetime, also a little before your time, Isaiah Thomas, who won back-to-back titles with the Bad Boy Pistons. He was phenomenal. Got to watch him play a little bit. But Steph Curry has certainly changed the game, and he's a multi-time champion, MVP, finals MVP. Chris Paul, man, but he has really perfected that mid-range game, and to do it at this point in his career, battling injury a lot of years, I give the guy a lot of credit. It's just fun to watch. I know there's a lot of arguments, and we've talked about it here, Spence, about the NBA game and the product and the talent now compared to a decade ago or more. I still think the talent is outstanding. And I know the Phoenix Suns have had the fortune of having some players banged up. Of course, Kawhi Leonard and some other players throughout the series, Anthony Davis and the likes. But to me, the Phoenix Suns have absolutely earned this. They swept through Denver, even though there was no Jamal Murray. Denver was playing well at the end of the season. They've taken care of business. Even though they fought hard, the Clippers, they did their job and went up 2-0 on them, and they closed the door on them when they had to. This will not be an easy series. They'll have to overcome adversity again, but they've done it throughout this playoff. So it's going to be very fun to watch, Spence, the rest of the way. Look, we got two superstars trying to build on their legacy. I mean, is there no better time ever for Giannis to win an NBA title than this year? And he's in the finals. This is his shot. And Chris Paul sees his window closing. This is his shot. So one of these guys will hoist that Larry O'Brien trophy and be a first-time champion. Will it be Paul? Will it be Giannis? Well, Chris Paul is only two games away. Giannis has still got a little bit of an uphill battle to fight. This is the Rest Stop. We are live here on Thursday. We're here July 8th from Las Vegas. Make sure that you subscribe to the YouTube channel, Brad the Believer, and twitch.tv is where we broadcast this podcast live from 9 to 10 o'clock Tuesday and Thursday. Spence, let's jump into the NBA draft a little bit. It's coming up at the end of the month here in July. We've seen the parity in the NBA. We've got two teams that have not appeared in the NBA finals in many decades now competing for an NBA title. We know teams are closing in, and injuries can change things on a dime. So this draft is really going to be important for teams to try to build that foundation to get themselves in the mix. Dave, of course, a big Magic fan. I'm from Orlando. That team has a couple lottery picks. They're trying to build a foundation to be a playoff contender in the future. Detroit has the number one overall pick. Spence, talk a little bit about the top five in this draft. And is there any guys that are going to come in and contribute right away to help these teams be in the conversation? It was only a couple short seasons ago that the Phoenix Suns drafted number one overall in a really talented draft that had Trae Young, had Luka Doncic, but it's DeAndre Ayton, the number one overall pick in that draft, combined with superstar Devin Booker and Chris Paul, that now have the Phoenix Suns in the NBA Finals. So what player could we be looking at from this draft that could possibly propel that franchise, where in 2 and 3 years we're talking about them as a playoff contender?
Yeah, I don't want to give up my early pick last year because I feel like I have high expectations for myself after picking, you know, one of the best sleepers in the draft.
Yes,
I have
did,
one.
Spence.
I have one player in mind. I'll give it out now, but it's not official. But the one thing that I think sticks out the most for me in the NBA draft, and I think it's crazy that you can still bet this, is who's going to be the first overall pick. It's Cade Cunningham, and today cemented that for me 100,000%. So the Cavs are the Detroit Pistons supposedly are thinking about trading up to the first overall pick, or trading away the first overall pick, which means they're not sure about drafting Cade Cunningham, and a lot of teams are. And clearly, I mean, that's what you want. That's the only guy, in my opinion, worth actually trading so high up there for. And Cade Cunningham is a Luka Doncic type of player. He had like a 24% usage rating at Oklahoma, which is a number that you basically just don't see in the NBA. It'll actually be interesting to see like what team drafts him, and if they do kind of go the Luka Doncic route where he is such a high usage, or if they try to implement him in some sort of offense. I'm not sure. But as I'm looking at this Bleacher Report mock draft, I'll go through and give my brief thoughts on the top five. So number two, they have the Houston Rockets selecting Jalen Green. He's a good scorer. He's got, he was in the G League for a long time. But I don't know. I'm going to wait to see with him. I mean, he's so fast and you kind of, you know, like that out of a draft prospect, obviously, and that can project forward. And I was actually not a big fan of Anthony Edwards going into the draft. I feel like they're a little similar, but he's a little more of that forward position, really high hops. Number three, they have the Cleveland Cavaliers selecting Evan Mobley. So here's the thing, right? I think if the Houston Rockets were smart, they would say, no Jalen Green. I think we're fine. Let's build an actual foundation, because the hot ticket item, you know, when Golden State won their title, every bad team thought that's the only way you can win in basketball. We got to get perimeter oriented. We got to get a bunch of shooters. But that's how you end up with the Cleveland Cavaliers, in that they drafted Colin Sexton, obviously, who's okay, but nothing to me is a six man, like, who should be scoring off of the bench. And then Darius Garland, who I was just never a fan of either. But because he could score, okay, that's what we need to do. Neither of them can play defense, which is really bad. So, which brings me back to my point of the Houston Rockets. Look, they don't have a lot going on for them. I think Jayshon Tate was actually a pretty good pick for them. He ended up having a really good year. But Christian Wood is their most valuable piece. John Wall is going to be on the team for the next 3 years or whatever his contract ends up going towards, which is fine. Here's the thing about bad franchises. They're always in a rush for absolutely no reason. If you know you're not going to make the playoffs in the next 3 years, just do things right. Just eat John Wall's contract and keep acquiring high draft picks. If you can get Christian Wood, and who I think they should draft second, which is Evan Mobley, I think you're putting yourself in a massive advantage. Look, you can say, oh, they're not going to be able to switch and everything. I don't think you have to, and I don't think the Phoenix Suns do either. You rarely see DeAndre Ayton like Brooke Lopez out in the perimeter like that. So it's based on the way that you design your team. So, and Christian Wood and him, I think, would be a great pairing. I mean, that's just dominant paint presence. Whatever you dominate in, that's what you can be good at in the NBA. Everything else is going to have to figure itself out, but they're not going to be able to figure it out in one offseason. I'll tell you that right now. And that's what Detroit tried to do last year in a very mediocre draft, in my opinion. But with Evan Mobley, I mean, this is he's a Clint Capella type, although they say he can extend his range out a little farther, which is really great. But I think he's going to project and be a really good center. And I think he's going to be really popular because of DeAndre Ayton. I think his stock has risen because of that in the NBA Finals. And that kind of stuff is really important for general managers on bad teams. And then after that, oh, sorry, you're going
to
say something.
No, Spence, I want you to keep that thought, but I want to ask you a question about a team that, of course, post LeBron James, the Cleveland Cavaliers. You mentioned some of their pieces. I like some of the guys they have. You mentioned Garland, but they acquired Jared Allen at the center position. They've got Colin Sexton. I still think they have Larry Nance Jr., which I think is a solid player. I think they've got a few pieces, and I know they were competitive at the beginning of the season this year, and then they kind of fell off. Is there somebody in the top five that they can get that'll increase their win rate by five wins? Is there someone that'll be a perfect fit for Cleveland? I do like some of the pieces I have. If you're Cleveland though, Spence, is there a couple guys in on that roster you would move on from to try to acquire future picks?
In my opinion, they should do everything they can to get Cade Cunningham. I'm a big fan of Isaac Okoro. I actually put him, I bet some money on him to win Rookie of the Year, averaged 18 points per game in the last month of the season. So I think he's a really good foundational piece. Jared Allen, I'm a big fan of as well. I kind of forgot about him on the team. Colin Sexton and Darius Garland are expendable for me. I don't see them being on the team very long term, nor do I think I could see them leading some sort of playoff push. If you can trade Darius Garland and their pick and maybe even another first round pick, I would be willing to do that. To move on, you put Colin Sexton in the sixth man of the year and you put Cade Cunningham at their point guard position. Now you're starting to build something. Again, I think that may decrease their win total next year, but that matters so little, I can't think of anything else. So if you have Cade Cunningham, Isaac Okoro, and Allen, that's the foundation you want. Not Colin Sexton, Darius Garland, and Jared Allen. That's going to get you nowhere. That's my advice to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
And you still got guys on the roster, Kevin Love, and like I said, Larry Nance Jr., who I think, if he stays healthy, is a key contributor on that team. Spence, you were before I interrupted you there, you were going to continue on in the top five there.
Yeah, so just two more picks here, and I think these are pretty set in stone, although it gets a little shaky at this point, right? But I think Jalen Suggs will be in there, and Bleacher Report does have him at the fourth overall pick. This guy reminds me a lot of Tony Parker for some reason. He doesn't have the shooting ability, but I think like those are the things I think you can develop, because I don't think his jump shot is really bad. Now, if someone has a really bad foundation, it's just not going to work out. Like I can't think of the guy's name. He played for Charlotte. He was really good defensively. Played for quite some time. But anyways, he's a really good team player. He's a great passer. He's the best facilitator from the point guard. Well, I guess Kate Cunningham probably would take that. Let's say the smartest passer in this year's draft, probably the highest basketball IQ. But look, his scoring ability leaves a lot to be desired. So you have to kind of weigh that for your franchise. And I'm not sure the Toronto Raptors should be all that interested in drafting a point guard. Although I guess Kyle Lowry is leaving. And I actually think this guy could be a lot like Kyle Lowry too. So he seems to fit their system pretty well. We'll see how interested they are in Fred VanVleet really taking on that point guard position, or if they like him kind of being a scoring two guard. Maybe they think he can develop into something else. But after that, it really feels like it falls off a little bit here. So, you know, I'm a contributor for FanSided Orlando Magic Daily, and Bleach Report has them taking Jonathan Kuminga fifth overall. And to me, like, that's between Jalen Suggs and after that, like, that's a big difference. So having the fifth and eighth pick, and the Bleach Report has an eighth, them taking Davion Mitchell, who's like kind of the sleeper guy who I like so far in this year's draft, but I want to do a lot more studying on him. This is not good for Orlando to have the fifth and eighth pick, because I think it leaves them in a really awkward spot. Yeah. They're the team that should package literally anything they can do to get the first overall pick. And fifth and eighth is enticing. No, not every year you have two picks in the top 10. That's very rare. And, you know, decently valuable. If Detroit really believes, or they wanted, like, okay, we like the foundation. If we can add just two more pieces in the top 10, we feel like we can kind of get that starting lottery five. I'd believe something like that, because Detroit is just so bad in the way they're run, and it's just kind of embarrassing the way their team is. So I feel like they'd be dumb enough to trade their first overall pick, especially if they're interested in doing so. And what better team can have a package than, if they do their scouting right, or Detroit feels are doing their scouting right, then having two picks in the top 10, which even leaves you flexible if you want to trade back or something. We know the GM is very active and he's willing to do these kinds of things. But as I'm looking and thinking about Orlando, look, no one is truly important on this team for me. Like, I'm a huge fan of RJ Hampton. I wrote articles about him the day I joined as a writer for them. I feel like he could be the starting point guard for them. But it's not that I don't like Jonathan Kuminga, but this is a team that had the worst like team field goal percentage in the league last year, and he is not going to help them. This guy's a defensive wing, and he reminds me a lot of Jonathan Isaac, who I also like, but he's not going to help them like in the future. The way their team's currently constructed, they need guys who can create for themselves.
Yeah, you can't win 90 to 87 games and win the NBA Finals anymore.
Yeah, no doubt. So I think Kuminga can find a good home. I think actually Oklahoma City would be a really great place for him to be there. They always seem to do well with those athletic forwards, but they need one guy to lead their team. Like, Orlando, in my opinion, I don't even know. Like, everyone seems to disagree with me on this one, but they made a mistake signing Markelle Fultz to such a big deal. He's not a $20 million per player year. So I hope they don't feel tied down that they have to give him a chance for that starting role. I think he can come off the bench. He seems to be decently able to create for himself, but he can't shoot the basketball. He still can't, and I don't think he ever will. And I don't think that's the role in his team's going to be. Cole Anthony, again, is one of those six man of the year scorers. So I think if you can go forward with your franchise thinking, you know, giving RJ Hampton that potential starting role, Jonathan Isaac obviously is basically the only important player. I think everyone else can be seen as pieces. And then the center position, I mean, even if they can trade up to second, having Mobley, and you can trade, Wendell Carter, you can keep him come off the bench. I think either of those options are fine. And then you can trade Mo Bamba for something potentially valuable. Now you're talking about something. Jonathan Isaac and Mobley and RJ Hampton, now I can start to believe in what you're doing. Right now, they just have a bunch of forwards who can't shoot, and that's not the way you're going to win basketball games. Also, they have to stay far, far away from the mid-range game, and Kuminga is not going to help them do that. I think they're in an awkward spot with a high potential to move forward. That's my evaluation on the fifth pick.
Spence, you seem pretty high on Cade Cunningham, number one, and his talent. Like I said earlier in some previous shows, I haven't watched a ton on him, but I did watch a couple of his tournament games and was not impressed with him at all. Spence, tell me what you see with him and why do you think his ceiling's so high and guys, teams should possibly be moving up to get him?
Yeah, forwards just simply don't have the passing ability that he does. I mean, the only other – I'm not going to say he's Luka Doncic. I don't think he's going to be as good as that. But if it makes sense to say the American version of Luka Doncic, I think that's what you're getting here. A little less efficiency, a little closer to Jason Tatum, but Jason Tatum certainly doesn't have the passing ability as Cade Cunningham. So maybe somewhere between Luka Doncic and, I just said his name.
Jason Tatum.
Yeah, Jason Tatum. Maybe not skill-wise, but I would say, like, in terms of the way he plays his game, somewhere right in the middle of there. So very high ceiling. A guy who I'd be willing to put a lot of risk.
High praise from Spencer the Wiz. And Spence was spot on in his draft evaluation last year, talking the steal of the draft, Tyrese Halliburton, which was first-team All-NBA rookie this past year. So Spence was spot on there. So I'm going to have to take what he says here about Cade Cunningham as gold. I'll try to do some more research, and it'll be fun to follow to see if Spence could go 2 for 2 as far as nailing some of the players in the draft, as he did last year, and we'll see what he does this year with some of his insight there. And you can follow Spence on Twitter at SpencerTheWiz. He also does a YouTube channel, Blue Milk Boys Gaming. He does a lot of stuff here locally in Las Vegas, so make sure to follow his stuff. And writes is a contributor for the Orlando Magic on their website. Go ahead and plug that one more time, Spence.
Yeah, so just go to Orlando Magic Daily. I retweet all my articles. I'm writing one soon, actually. I know about Kenny Atkinson. He just got hired as an assistant. I know Orlando is like basically reaching the final steps to hire the Dallas assistant as their next head coach. I think that's a very bad sign for the team. The fact that Kenny Atkinson was not interested in taking that job despite a high potential, you know, for success. And I'm going to write about that.
Fantastic. That's Spencer Ostrowski, Spencer the Wiz on Twitter. Spence, let's move over to the NHL, because last night the Tampa Bay Lightning were crowned Stanley Cup champions for the second straight year. In the bubble last year, in front of their home ice this year in Tampa Bay, they took care of Montreal in impressive fashion, finished the series 4-1 and won last night 1-0. Tampa Bay, Spence, fantastic, and to do it back-to-back is very impressive. I want to tell you what stood out to me, though, and it's actually nothing that had to do with the on-ice play. After the game, Spence, the losing Canadiens team all lining up, and this is really traditional in hockey, and just shaking everybody's hand, the coaches, the players. The type of sportsmanship and camaraderie in the NHL is like nothing I've seen in professional sports. And maybe it's just me being naive, but, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, rarely do I see NHL players and the NHL culture getting into off, you know, Twitter battles, beefs, distractions. Man, it's a bunch of tight-knit guys in the NHL. And the type of sportsmanship, man, should really be applauded and looked at as something to kind of model, because it's certainly nothing like we see in the other major sports, basketball, football, and baseball. It was a great victory and series and championship for Tampa Bay, but the hockey culture itself, Spence, really kind of stood out to me as I watched that. And it's not something that's foreign, but it's something that maybe should be talked about more as a model of how professionals should carry themselves on this level.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there is definitely some truth to that. And I think hockey is just a lot more professional as a league, more than most. And maybe that's because we don't pay as much attention to it. So I really do think the media eggs on so much of what happens in all of these, because people thrive on attention. Like, some people do, not everybody. Obviously, not everybody in the NFL is like all big wig and, you know, creates beef. And basketball, even more, it's more, even more personal, because you see their faces. For whatever reason, that seems to you know, push that narrative that we're like talking about people, versus in hockey and even in football to a certain extent, you know, they're behind helmets. So it's harder to like engage with that. You know, the bigger NFL stars obviously are able to do that. And, but for hockey, I mean, I think these guys just grew up and they have to work so hard to get to where they are. And, you know, there's just a lot of pride in their game. Although it is worth noting, after the game, Kucherov was in his post-game conference kind of egged on the Canadiens fans, saying, you know, making fun of them for how they celebrated in that Game 4 victory in overtime. But man, I don't really know much. I mean, I just started learning about hockey about 2 years ago or 3 years ago. That's when the Golden Knights started. But Kucherov, I'm actually a really big fan of the guy. Like, he really cares about winning the game. I mean, he missed like the entire season because of injury, and he came in the playoffs and immediately started dominating. And here, I'm going to read some of his quotes. They acted the Montreal like they had won the Stanley Cup last game. A shirtless Kucherov, by the way. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Their final was last series. So like that kind of mentality, that is a like cold-blooded winner. I don't even know if I can think of like an analogy to a different sport. Like who is that cutthroat that cares that much about winning? It's like it's almost gone in sports. So it's nice to see. I appreciate guys like that. That's kind of how I carried myself like in college when I played recreational basketball. It's like it's not really about like you personally. It's like it's just the idea of the competitive nature. Like, and that's like the ultimate.
Spence kind of froze up there, so hopefully we'll get him back here in a second. But he was talking about Kucherov, Tampa Bay Lightning, and just the competitive fire of that squad getting back-to-back Stanley Cup titles. Quite impressive. Spence, I think we have you back here.
Yep, I'm back.
All right, did you want to continue that thought?
I don't – what did I cut off? I'm sorry. I was like – I was
You were talking about Kucherov's cutthroat comments, and then you were talking about rec league basketball.
Yeah, I was just like – I liked it. I loved trash talking in college when I played recreational basketball. But, like, it's that spirit. It just – it's, like, not really about the person. And it's not, like, really about even people you're friends with. It's just so fun to get in their face. And I feel like it's gone from, like, sports for the most part. I think Tom Brady has that to a certain extent. Although it's like more about like profession for him. And LeBron, I think, used to have that, like that famous stare we saw in that Miami Heat game six to avoid elimination from the Celtics that forced a game seven. I think that's long gone. The guy only cares about Space Jam now. And other than that, I mean, again, even Chris Paul, I feel like it's more of a competitive or a professional thing. Like this guy, Kucherov, he just loves to play the sport and he loves to beat people at it. It's fun to watch.
That's outstanding. The rest stop 9 to 10 o'clock, Tuesdays and Thursdays. I've been off for a while here, but glad to be back with you here on this July 8th, 2021. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Brad the Believer, at Spencer the Wiz. We broadcast the show from there. Also, twitch.tv/ChrisLandryFootball. If you miss any part of the show, check out the audio podcast version at any of the podcasting platforms. Landry Football Conference called The Rest Stop will be underneath there. Spence, since we were back on doing the podcast over a week ago, few things have come down in sports. One of them I wanted to discuss, NIL, name, image, likeness in college sports. It's really a game changer on the college level. Now players are able to make some money and put some cash in their pocket off of name, image, likeness. We've saw here in the Mountain West Conference, because we're here in Las Vegas, in Fresno State women's basketball, the Cavender Twins, female basketball players, sophomores, I believe, signed a big deal with Boost Mobile. Their pictures were on Times Square in New York. We've seen Master P, the famous rapper popular in the 90s and early 2000s. His son will be playing basketball, signed a $2 million deal. There's other guys that have signed some big stuff. It really opens up the gates for college players. I just heard today UCLA basketball player Johnny Juzang has taken his name out of this upcoming draft. We'll go back to UCLA. But now there's opportunities for guys to do that, Spence, and it really incentivizes college players as well to maybe go to college and have more guys participate as opposed to the RJ Hamptons and guys that went straight to overseas or the G League. Now look at this opening up landscape of college sports. In my opinion, college sports was in a dire situation in the middle of COVID, and they were going to survive, but so many programs had to cut their programs out completely. I think this really opens up the floodgates to make college sports really come back to the forefront. It gives big name players incentives to go to college, to not only get their education, but they'll be able to make some money. Spence, this is a really big deal. Talk about your thoughts when it came down and how much it opens up the entire landscape of college athletics.
Yeah, and most importantly, we might get some NCAA football games back. No, I'm just kidding. But I think this is really great for college athletes. The fact that they basically didn't own their own name in college sports, I mean, it was just nonsense. I mean, that's borderline slavery. And I think Judge Kavanaugh said it best in their Supreme Court ruling, which, you know, right after the ruling, the NCAA obviously opened it up on that last Thursday. He said, I mean, this would be illegal in any other industry, and somehow it lasted this long for college. So I mean, everybody should be able to, you know, profit off their name, especially these big athletes. Like Zion could have obviously signed huge deals during college basketball. Johnny Manziel, I mean, just even thinking historically, like what these guys would have been able to do for themselves. So I think this part is a really good win for athletes. And plus, the NCAA, it's like, how much sympathy does anybody have for them? Guys who have protected, you know, child sex offenders, abusers, like all of that. The NCAA allows this to happen all the time. All their internal review. So again, I'm glad that the individual is able to get a little bit of freedom back. The only thought I have like past this and that worries me is like the next step, right? And paying college athletes like a starting quarterback for Tennessee would get not as much money as an NFL quarterback. There obviously just wouldn't be that much money there. There's too many college programs. But I do think that if they don't really think this through and they do want to continue with this, it could be the end of a lot of just college programs, because if you have to start paying quarterbacks and all of that, and there's no cap on it, like for schools, and even if there is a cap on it, considering they already pay them these scholarships, not all of them, not Alabama, but like you, let's say UNLV, for example, I mean, their football program would just be a race. They wouldn't be able to afford a full team at that point. The program struggles enough as it is. So as long as it stays this, and it's not about coming out of like the individual college's pocket, and too much of the time, I think we're thinking about Alabama and LSU. I mean, college is so expensive, and I also just don't think that it's going to be really good for a lot of these kids, especially, you know, more on the paid part. If they come in with $1 million early on, it's going to ruin some of these kids' lives. It's going to ruin some of their careers. We'll see. But for now, let's celebrate the win for college athletes all across the nation for being able to actually make money for their own name.
Yeah, Spence. And the flip side of that, Spence, we talked about the positive, the corruption side of this, of more boosters and under the table transactions of guys trying to put extra money in people's pockets. Could this end up getting one-sided to the big boys, Alabama, Clemson, really, you know, taking monopoly on what they're able to offer certain guys? I mean, this is going to be really interesting to follow the flip side and see if the corruption finds its way into this, which we know it will in some capacity. It's just a matter of how much is brought to the forefront.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And here's the thing, right? Like if Alabama has to start paying their athletes, they will, because they make so much money through football. So that means if they're paying all these guys this money, that means the wrestling program, the tennis program, all that kind of stuff that's generating $0 for them, it's gone. I think if they start paying athletes, and they basically have to survive, female sports will absolutely just disappear. And that's what I really, really don't want to see, because it means a lot to a lot of these kids. And do I think that they can just, like, I think you can actually just become more lenient on these kinds of rules. Like there's like, oh, you can't feed an athlete. Like that just doesn't make sense, right? Like coaches can't go out and feed their, like the kids that basically they watch over and develop into young men. You know, I think the reason that it's gotten so out of hand is because there is like, it's too stringent. So if they can lax the rules on it, you know, maybe help out the kids' families with their mortgage or something. I don't know what it is. And hopefully the NCAA thinks this through. I don't think they will. I just think it's going to become a disaster. But for the, you know, for the time being, I think everything's great.
Yeah, I completely agree. For the time being, this is a huge win for the athletes and for everybody, every college teams, organizations, players, parents, fans, all alike. Spence, to put a final topic on the show tonight, of course, the big story in the NBA, game two of the NBA Finals. The Phoenix Suns take a 2-0 series lead over the Milwaukee Bucks. They hold home court. They win tonight 118-108. Devin Booker had 31.6 assists, some big shots. Sat out there the last 45 seconds or so of the game. And afterwards, he said it was just they felt like they had the game in hand and was resting the body. As it was really a starter-heavy game on both sides, Spence, as the starters mostly played on both sides, 35-plus minutes. Off the bench for Milwaukee, Portis only playing 5 minutes. Pat Connaughton was the sixth man, playing 34 minutes. But 18 minutes from Cam Johnson was the most minutes from a reserve for Phoenix. So, look, they're going to have to really rest up for Sunday's game because everybody's playing big minutes. This is it. This is it. No more series after this, Spence. And Phoenix took care of what they had to do, led by Devin Booker. Mikal Bridges was fantastic with 27 points. And the Phoenix Suns held off late charges from the Milwaukee Bucks. A 7-0, 8-0 run late. Phoenix hit big shots and ended up holding on for the victory. So, of course, both teams have fought to get to this point. Phoenix had a little bit more rest coming into the finals, but it's all out now. Everybody's cards are on the table. It's win or go home, and the Phoenix Suns are two wins away from winning their first ever NBA title. They're going to have to go to Milwaukee and try to steal a game or two, and the Milwaukee Bucks looking to hold home court, and we'll find out that on Sunday. Chris Paul, it'll be his first ever title, and of course Giannis for the Milwaukee side, his first ever championship if they can win, Spence.
Yeah, I was just going to quickly say.
No, go ahead.
It feels like this is the last chance. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, this doesn't make any sense, but for Phoenix, it feels like this is probably the last chance that they'll get, considering just like just how much better the West is going to get next year and how much more healthy it's going to be. Like if Kawhi and Paul George played in that series, I can't imagine that the Clippers weren't going to win the way that they were playing at that time, the way they were able to match up with them. Also, you know, it's just they were a couple, like a half second tip in away from really taking a stronghold in that series. So I feel confident about them. I feel pretty confident about the Lakers at some point. And then Golden State, considering what they can do and some of the assets that they have. And I think as Chris Paul gets older, look, like I said at the beginning of the show, the NBA is about opportunity, and Phoenix has capitalized 100,000% on that. So you can't take that away from them. But in future years, I can't imagine like this same Phoenix team being a full-powered Nets team. I just don't even feel like it's it wouldn't even exist. I think they would just dominate. Like Kyrie and James Harden would just crucify Chris Paul on the defensive end. It would be so bad for them. And for Milwaukee, it also feels like. Oh, like it's just not. There's not a lot of opportunities the way that they, you know, the dice rolled for them. They beat a bad Miami team that I just wasn't a big fan of going into the offseason. They barely beat the Brooklyn Nets, and if they can barely beat the way that they were constructed at that point, they have no chance against Brooklyn in the future. And it doesn't seem like that trio is going to go away anytime soon. So, and then it's just like Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday. Those are the guys, and they signed them to a max deal, and then Drew Holiday they traded a truckload for. Now, if it wins them an NBA title, who cares if they never go back to it again? But I think they need to realize what kind of opportunity they have this year, because the one they have this season is not going to roll along like another time in the next 10 years, in my opinion.
I couldn't agree more with that, Spence. One more story, Spence, we didn't have in the rundown, but kind of important in the sports world, came out that the DeAndre Wilder Tyson Fury 3 match set, believe here in Las Vegas, is going to be postponed because Fury has tested positive for COVID and some people in his camp. Spence, how does this happen? I mean, with these pro athletes and in these situations, I mean, I know Chris Paul, he was the only NBA player to test positive. He apparently was vaccinated. I'm just surprised we're at this point with professional athletes that they haven't taken all the precautions to not have this happen, especially in a huge moment like this for Fury.
Well, if there's anything that we know for sure is that celebrities don't view themselves on the same plane of existence as us. So when they get that rich and we treat them that differently, they think that no rules apply to them. I always go back to this, and I don't think I'll ever forget about it. Odell Beckham says he can't get the vaccine simply because of his relationship. Like he doesn't vibe with the virus or something. It was something ridiculous like that. So clearly it's just gone straight to their head at that point. And we were talking about this for the show, and I do think this is like a legitimate real concern, right? Because Chris Paul also got the virus and he missed a couple of games in this year's playoffs, but he was vaccinated. And now it's coming out that Pfizer wants to make a stronger dose. I got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. It says I may have to get another dose. Like, I don't know. It scares me to think that, like, what is happening right now that, like, they said there's no way. So it feels like they just straight up lied and said that if you get the vaccine, you're good. And obviously the American life has gone back to normal, which I think is a great thing. But at the same time, I mean, they have the Gamma and the Delta variant. It's like, we're all going to go insane at some point, like, you know, trying to keep up with all of this. We need like one voice or one like direction to understand all of this. And, you know, obviously we're just not going to get that because of the way that, you know, we consume media and information. So it's sad. I don't know. Hopefully he's going to be okay. I think that's probably the most important part. Look, the guy's cocky, but at the same time, I think he's a decent human being, and I really wouldn't wish that upon anybody. And I'm excited for the fight, and I would really hope that it doesn't affect his performance whenever it is. And I also hope they don't reschedule the fight like right when he tests negative for the virus, because I mean, I can't imagine what that would do. you know, on a fighting ring. Like, I want this to be delayed months because I do think this is an interesting boxing matchup.
I agree. And Spence, let's touch on the Olympics a little bit. Here in Las Vegas, the USA men's basketball team practicing here in Las Vegas, getting ready for the Tokyo Olympics here. And of course, there's been some Olympic news in the sports landscape here over the last week and a half. One that is most recent, you just mentioned it to me, no fans for the Tokyo Olympics. That was something that was being discussed. We weren't 100% sure, but it looks like it's going to be a for sure thing, no fans. So it's going to be unprecedented kind of in this Olympics 2021. But you mentioned a lot of these COVID variants. It's going to play a big role in why we won't have fans participating in the Olympic action, which is very disappointing. And it's going to hurt the ratings viewership wise also.
Of course. And well, you know my opinion. I hate the Olympics. I don't think they should exist. I think they should completely disband them until they can figure out like the insane amount of corruption. And here's the reality of the situation. Basically, Japan's vaccination rate, if the vaccine even is effective, who knows? But let's just say it is for the most part. And these have been outliers. 15%. So while Coca-Cola and Subway and McDonald's are, you know, getting all their endorsement money and they're spending all this money on commercials and stuff, the Japanese people will be suffering on the very outside of those walls. But I guarantee you they won't mention that. And I guarantee you when they pan the camera around the city, it's going to look like this illustrious booming city. Tokyo is doing so great right now. Went right outside of that camera shot, there will be people like really struggling. And they're still recovering, by the way, from some disasters like tsunamis. And I think one of their nuclear plants had a meltdown. Like, people are legitimately suffering over there, but it's okay because this segment is sponsored by McDonald's. Like, that's just how I feel about the Olympics. It's kind of sad to have a world stage viewed by nobody in the world. Also, just further defeats the purpose, I think, of having the Olympic Games. It's a complete embarrassment on the world stage from all the major companies, our countries, I should say. But that's just my two angry cents about the Olympics.
That's Spencer Ostrowski. Follow him on Twitter at Spencer the Wiz. I'm Brad Restituto at Brad the Believer. This is the Rest Stop. Make sure you check us out every Tuesday and Thursday, 9 to 10 o'clock Pacific time. Like and subscribe the YouTube channel at Brad the Believer and follow us and like, subscribe, twitch.tv/ChrisLandryFootball. Any of the podcasting platforms, the audio version of the podcast, Landry Football Conference Call, the Rest Stop will be underneath there. For Spencer Ostrowski, I'm Brad Restituto. We'll check you back next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy your sports. Take care.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.